We're in week two of Friend of the King. Last week was a quick synopsis. I was all over the place biblically, just not biblically, but in the Bible, rather, in regards to Ecclesiastes and a few other books. And so this week we're going to be hanging out in John chapter 15, as well as 2 John and 1 John, just to give you a heads up. I pray that you brought your paper Bible with you. Our desire, technology is great. I think it's awesome. I use it all the time. But there's something special about seeing the words on paper and then also taking notes, underlining, highlighting, and having something. If technology were to go by the wayside, you're still able to do this. How many of you guys can write in cursive? Teach your kids. There's important things when it comes to print and paper. So let's keep, if you don't have a Bible, the church is more than willing. We'd love to buy you one and make sure that you have one as well. And keep it, utilize it. And so that's what, John 15, we'll just start there. I'll give you a quick synopsis of my week. I thank you for praying for us on Tuesday. The elders, myself and Jordan met, and the Lord showed up. There was a great meeting. We were several hours together, shared a meal together, which is also always a blessing. But in that process of that time, I've been struggling with joy. Has anybody else struggled with joy over the last year, year and a half? No? Some of you guys, I know Leslie does not, right? It's her spiritual gift. But I've been struggling with joy, and it came up in elders' meeting. Like, I have this heaviness I can't get over. I listen to a lot of issues. That's my job. Listen to a lot of issues and a lot of hardships, a lot of struggles. In that process, I've just been wrestling with the Lord, like, God, I can't carry this. And he keeps saying, it's not yours to carry. It's yours to walk alongside of. But I wouldn't listen. You ever done that where God's like saying, listen, you're just supposed to be there. You're not supposed to carry this thing for them. Just be with them through it. Help them carry it, but don't carry it yourself. And through that process, the last number, a year, year and a half, it's just been a delayed grief, delayed mourning. Had to pull yourself up by the bootstraps and make it through 2020. And basically what happens when you're in that role is it hits you later. It hits you later in life. It's like, okay, I had to hold it all together. We held it together. Then all of a sudden it hits you like a ton of bricks. You're like, what just happened this last year and a half? And during that process, I've been struggling with joy. And I told the elders, I said, you know what? I need you guys to pray for me. And I asked a few times, and finally Brent just stops everything and prays for me. And he prays, Lord, just restore his joy. Like, help him to find his joy in the midst of that. And this scripture kept going through my mind as Brent is praying over me. The joy of the Lord is my what? Strength. That's all I heard. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And at the end of the prayer, it was just like that scripture just like locked in. And then I went to Nehemiah and looked it up and what God was doing with Nehemiah. And that's where that scripture is from. I don't know if you knew that. You know the song maybe, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And it goes over like five times so because we're dense and we need to hear the same words over and over again, right? That's from Nehemiah. After the walls had been rebuilt during that time, they came back into Jerusalem. They came back into the homeland, and they're rebuilding the walls for protection and guidance so that they could worship together. And after the walls are finished, they have the reading of the word. And based upon the reading of the word, everybody realizes we've not been living by the word of God. And there's this deep mourning that goes on with the people. And they're mourning and grieving and they're struggling with the truth because now they've heard the truth, they weren't living in it, and it hits them like a ton of bricks and they're mourning and grieving. In that process, Nehemiah and all the guys that are teaching look out and realize everybody's like sobbing uncontrollably because they realize the hardships that they've gone through and that they finally finished the wall and should be praising God, but they haven't been living out the faith of God. And they begin to weep and have sorrow. And Nehemiah, the narrative goes on to basically say, the men stand up in front of everybody and say, listen, stop weeping and rejoice in the Lord, for he's been faithful. He's been faithful for what he has done. And matter of fact, stop weeping and go party is what he tells them. He tells them to go off and be reminded of God's goodness and celebrate his goodness together and then get back in line. And so as that scripture kept going through my mind while Brent was praying, I then researched it this week. I'm like, okay, Lord, I see that. Like that, I mourned. Like I haven't mourned and then I mourned. Like it hit me like a ton of bricks recently. Like, man, what have we been through? And then the Lord's been saying through Brent and others, find your joy in the Lord. Like, come back to God and let that joy be present. Then after that, in Nehemiah, they do the Feast of Booths, and they go out and they remind one another the goodness of God and the past heritage of their lineage and how God provided through the wilderness, and they celebrate and have an amazing party. reminding one another of the goodness of the Lord. And I bring that up because I have a friend with God, but there had been a distancing with God. I knew what he says, and I sit with people, and I give answers, but there had been a distancing from me and God. Not that I'm not here to testify or give like some horrible sin confession, just so you know. But there had been this thing basically where I was like, God, I don't see where you're going. Have you ever felt that way? I can't figure it out. I can't figure out where you're headed. Like, I want to be faithful in where you're going. I want to be able to be true with where we're going as a body. And that was the whole point of this meeting. Where are we going as a body? Like, what's the rest of 2020 look like? And it's like this fog. And it just lifted after they got prayed over. Like, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Let your joy come from something beyond you. Don't try to stir it up. Go to the source of it. I say that because Jesus is the King. He's also our friend, and he's inviting us to find our joy in him, that relationship in him. Matter of fact, Proverbs 22:11, he who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious will have the King as his friend. We talked about that last week. It's a Proverbs that reminds us that Solomon says, listen, if you want to be my friend, you need to have a pure heart and your speech needs to be gracious. And Jesus is saying the same thing to us. Like, when our hearts changed, we have something different inside of us. And the words that flow from our mouth are pleasing to the Lord and help others. But they're not ours. They're God's. John 15. Ready? John 15. We're going to pick it up in verse 5. I encourage you to read 1 through 4. We've done a whole series on John 15, so I'm not going to reread that today. But Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what?
Nothing.
Apart from me, you can do nothing. You may think you're doing something, but it's nothing. Unless the Lord is in it. It goes on and says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. And then what's your next word? Maybe it's a different version. In verse 7, what's your first word? Okay, good. That'd have really bombed if it wasn't, right? I have that circled and underlined. If you what? If you abide. If you abide. I guess God's like, listen, are you listening to what I'm reading? Like, does it sink into your heart and mind of what he's saying to us, what Jesus is saying? If you abide, if you come close to me, if you abide with me, if you're one with me, then the rest of this is true. And my words abide in you, not just not my presence, but my word, and whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear what? Much fruit. And so prove to be my disciples. The scriptures say we're supposed to look at one another's fruit, but we're supposed to be looking at our own fruit. Like, what am I bearing? What am I producing? What in my life is showing forth the glory of God and shows that I'm close as a friend of the King? Like, how does it reflect his glory with my life? How does my joy come from him so I make an impact in the lives of others? How am I bearing much fruit? And what fruit am I bearing? As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be what?
Full.
Full. But the joy of the Lord is my strength, but it has to come through the relationship that I have with the King that reminds me of his goodness. And when I'm abiding with him, like one with him, then everything's in balance. Everything's according to his will. And so my prayers align with the King as well then, right? I want to do the King's bidding. I want to do the King's whatever he requests, whatever he tells me to do. I want to do it to please him. And so then my prayers line up with him as well, right? God, I desire to do your will. And if it be your will, that should be the end of every prayer. Let it be so. If it's your will, let it be so. And that's what's happening here, is he's reminding us of the fact that in order to have a joy that's full, we have to be close to the King. We have to walk in his commandments. We have to abide in his love. And we have to let his words abide in our head, in our heart. There's a lot there to unpack. I'm not going to unpack all of it right now. But just as a reminder of the fact that if you want to abide in truth, you have to abide with the King. You have to be very close with him. I've totally messed up all the notes back there at the computer, just so you know. So track with me. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone do what? You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from the Father I have made known to whom? You. This is really important. This 15 is what our focal point is for this week and in the following two and last week as well. This series is really based upon 15. Jesus comes to us and invites us to be his friend. Do you remember your first friendship? Remember the closeness, the shared life, the things that happened with your first friendship? It was something that established something inside of you that says, I'll do what is needful for you. I've had friends I would die for, like now. Like, if I had to, it'd be done. Relationships that remind us of the fact that these people are people that we desire to be with, we desire to be alongside of, we desire to do life with. And that's what God is inviting us into. And he says, I am your friend. And I listen, on top of that, I've made known everything that the Father's told me I've made known to you. I'm not keeping any secrets from you. That's friendship. That's what the King is saying to us. He's saying, listen, I will make everything known to you. Just come to me and I'll tell you. I have nothing to hide from you. I will show you whatever it is that you want to know. So my first point is to be a friend of the King is to follow his decrees. To be a friend of the King is to follow his decrees. Now, none of these points are shocking, but it's amazing how hard they are at times. To be a friend of the King is to follow his decrees. What is he saying is what I want to be along in line with. Whatever he is commanding and telling me, this is where I want to walk. This is what I want to be involved in. That's what 15:15 is saying. The King has told you what you need to know. Are you listening? Are you listening to the King? What's the King saying to you? What's the Spirit of the Lord telling you? What is he asking you to do? What's he calling you to be obedient in? Are you willing to follow whatever decree it is that he commands? Our current world right now is the opposite. In a lot of ways, it's basically I'll do what makes me happy. I'll do with it what aligns me with this certain group of people that I want to fit in with. Remember the 80s? Remember the fish that are all swimming this way and there was the one? Remember that t-shirt? It was like pink and bright blue. Does anybody remember that one or just me? Okay. Obviously did not sell well in the 80s. It was the one fish going upstream against everybody, the whole school. And it was a picture to remind of the fact that to follow the King sometimes means I'm going against culture. It means I'm going against what everybody else says is okay or desires to do. It means I'm going against the flow of life because sometimes that's what the King calls us to do. He calls us to follow after him, to obey his words, to follow his decrees no matter the cost. Now backing up to verse 7, if you would with me. As I mentioned, I said I have the word if circled. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. If you abide in me. If. This is not a salvific moment that we're talking about necessarily. It's a closeness moment. Are you one together? Do you understand the oneness of God and his desire to walk with you? To abide is to remain as one. Marriage is the perfect picture of this. The two become what? One. One flesh. One life. This is the picture that Jesus is telling us we're invited into with him as well. That relationship that says we're lockstep together, pursuing what it is that honors the King together. This is what we're going to do. We have one mind, one will, one spirit, one direction that we're going. That's God's desire. Point number two is this. I play a pivotal role in determining the proximity I have to the King. I play a pivotal role in determining the proximity I have to the King. We've talked about this in messages past, about how the King's on his throne, and maybe we're on the exterior. We may be in the inner court, the outer court. We may be in the town. We may be in another world. And yet, I determine how close it is that I am abiding with the King. How close do I determine or decide within my head and heart to say, this is as close as I want to be versus I want to be as close to the King as I can. Now, here's what Jesus invited you to. Come be my friend. His invitation wasn't for you to kind of hang out, clear out there, and kind of add him in as it fits what's good for you. When calamity strikes and you turn to the friend and you're like, hey man, can you help me? Does anybody have that friend? It's like, hey man, I'm down. I'm down and out. You're like, okay, I'll help you out. And then they vanish for like ever until what? calamity hits again, and then they call. That is not the relationship God has called us to be in with him. He says, I want to be your friend. We're in this together. Good, bad, or indifferent. Let's walk this out. But I play the role that determines the distance I have between me and the king. As he calls me and draws me near to him and says, I want to be your friend, the question becomes, is there something inside me? He's like, I don't know. I kind of just wanted you as my savior. I kind of just wanted the free ticket. That's kind of all I was kind of in for. You know, if I can be a friend of yours on Sunday from 10 to 11:15 and 11:30 if the preacher goes long, then that's what I want. That is not friendship. And Jesus has invited us to a friendship, a relationship that says, listen, you know what? You may have those friends that you text or call at weird times. That's what Jesus is saying. Come to me no matter what time it is, and let's have a communication, let's talk, let's discern, let's walk through life together. That's the invitation that Jesus has given to you as the king. The question is where are you at? Where are you? We saw this happen with Peter. He's very close to the king. He was like Jesus blessed him. And then we find him in the courts watching this and distancing himself as things go sideways, right? As things get tough, he distanced himself from the king. Things did not go well for him during that time. And yet Jesus calls him back, does he not? As his friend, he meets him as he's out fishing and says, hey, come on in, guys, let's have a meal. And he forgives him and sets him on mission again. That's friendship, not an abandoning of somebody, but a friendship. Point number three is the king's word that abide in me also animate me to love. The king's words that abide in me also animate me to love others. Words matter. Say that. They do. They matter. What you say, what we say, what the king says matter. Matter of fact, in the scriptures, if we look what a king says, it's a decree, it's a promise. He seals it. And he says, this is my word. And if anybody breaks this, gone. Like, get them out of here. Words matter. They're strong. They have a mighty thing behind them. It's like either you keep your word or you don't. Let your yes be yes, your no be no, right? Words matter. So if the king's words are abiding inside of me, it also animates me. It makes me live a different way because words matter. What God has spoken into us, he says, you are saved, redeemed, chosen, a special people, my daughter, my son, my friend. Words matter. So when he said, I no longer call you servants, but I now call you friends, that changes the entire relationship. And God's words matter when he calls you his friend. It should animate us to love others just as God has loved us as well. It should change the way we perceive what he's up to. You did not choose me, but I chose you, he says, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will what? Love one another. His commandments are so that we love each other. And we learn that from the friendship that we have from him now becomes what we give to others. May it be what flows in and through us to somebody else. Go to 1 John real quick, if you would. We're going to fly through some scriptures here. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 4, I should tell you that as well. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to what? Walk in the same way in which Jesus walked. Walk in the same way that the king walked. Like if I say I abide with Christ, that means my walk should mirror what it is that the king is walking out as well. His decrees, his promises, his words that he's given us, we walk those things out in obedience to him, but because we're friends with him, that's where he's going, that's where I want to be. And so he's reminding us the fact that in God, if we have to keep the commandments, and by keeping the commandments, we're walking with him by doing so. Walk with him. If you go on to verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride in possessions. Let's just slow down here. The desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, and pride in possessions. Would you say we struggle with that as Americans? That is not from the Father, but from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides for how long? Forever. That stuff is so fleeting. And yet if we do the will of the Lord, we abide forever. If we have a friendship with the King, we abide forever. If we walk with the King, we abide forever. If you continue on to verse 26. John goes on to say, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from him, the anointing you received from God, abides where? In you. You ever have that feeling? You're like, I know I ought not to do this. That's the Spirit of the Lord. The Word of God. And you have no need that anyone should teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, do what? Abide in him. Be one with him. Goes on, and now little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who, what, practices righteousness has been born of him. I mean, so basically he's saying, listen, God's coming back. What are you going to do? Are you living in such a way that you're so close to him that you're like, I'm already with you, man. I can't wait. Or are you living in such a way that goes, I don't want him to. Like, I'm not sure. Like, I don't know this Jesus well enough to trust his motives for coming back. And that's the conflict that's going on inside us. Can we wait? Like, I'm so close to Jesus, I can't wait for him to return. Like, I want to be there. Or is it more like, you know what? I'm fearful of what may happen if he does come back. Listen, church, with the way the world's going right now, run to the King. We serve someone greater than this world. We serve a cause greater than any other cause in this world that the King has given us. May we long for his appearance. May we be in lockstep with him until he does return. May we understand what he's commanded us to do, how to live, how to love others, how to glorify him with our lives. It goes on in chapter 3, verse 18. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but what? In deed and in what? Truth. Let us love not and just talk, but let us love in deed and in truth. Let us be in lockstep with him as we're doing that. Now I know I said in my thing I was going to do John and 1 John only. And I don't want to be a liar, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You have my word, this is the last flip. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 6 and following. This is Paul talking to the church of Corinth. These are words that were brought to me this week by somebody else and a book I was reading. And I want to share it with you. This has been a focal point of my ministry so far at OCC, that we mature in Christ. I don't know about you, but I can only hang out with a toddler for so long. It gets exhausting. And yet God has called us to like mature in our faith, you know, to grow in faith so that we don't remain in the same pattern of life that we get stuck in that doesn't glorify God, and then everybody else is going, man, if you just did this, you'd be out of it. You're like, you know what, but I'm comfortable being a toddler. In this scripture, Paul reminds us, he says, yet, in verse 6, yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom. Among the mature, we impart wisdom. And Paul's saying, listen, if you're not going to mature in your faith, we'll give you some milk. But for those who are ready for meat, we want to mature, we want to eat meat. I'm not offending any vegetarians. I just came out of my mouth, I'm like, oh well. Paul said it, so... Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age. I'll read that again. This needs to hit us. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it's not a wisdom from this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who what? Man, let's read that again. What no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined. Just pause there. Whatever you imagine God to be and whatever you imagine his reign to be when he comes back again, you can't even come close to what it's going to look like. Like what you think it is and the glory it is, like times a million. You can't figure it out. But here's the beauty, who God has prepared for those who love him. I mean, glory be to God that he's selected us as his chosen. We're allowed to be in his presence. He's invited us as his friend and as a king. And he says, listen, I've got something greater than all this for you. Like, that's why you shouldn't be so disturbed by what's happening. You should be, but it shouldn't take you down. You got something beyond all this. I think of Stephen being stoned and being killed right there in that place. And he sees Jesus standing. He's like, man, why would I want to be here? The glory of the Lord is showing up to him. Verse 10, these things God has revealed to us through what? The Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thought except the spirit of the person which is in him? Have you ever tried that? You ever tried to figure out people? And you're like, I don't know what you're thinking. Just tell me what you're thinking. And we can't, because I can't perceive what's going on inside of you. Only you can, between you and God. I can't figure it out. He goes on to say, so also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. Freely given. I'll tell you why you're here, to love me and love others. I'll use your past. Have you ever sought the Lord and say, Lord, I don't understand what happened, like why it happened? And eventually it comes to fruition. You're like, okay, Lord, I can see how you're using this for your glory and others' good now. Has that ever happened to anybody in here? Anybody? Okay. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths. To whom? Those who are spiritual. That's why he's saying, grow up. Wake up. Find your vision in me. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges what? All things. The spiritual person judges all. These are not my words. They're right here in the Bible, just so you know. He's saying judge, not whether a person is saved or not, but he's saying when you're looking at the world and you're saying to yourself, I don't understand it, you should be judging, going, what's right, what's wrong, and what does God say about it? He's telling us to do that with the Spirit of the Lord and the Word of God so that when we look at the landscape of the world we are caught in, we have answers to questions and we can give them. Which should always draw people towards God. He says, the spiritual person judges all things. Is it right? Is it wrong? Does it glorify God? Does it glorify me? We judge all the time. But he himself is to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have what? The mind of Christ. Because you're his friend. And he's told you what to do. That's how you have his mind. He shared with you the path that he has for your life. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, does that mean he dictates every step? We won't get into that debate right now. It does mean that your response can be glorifying and honor to the Lord. What you do with the situation you find yourself in is you're judging it, and you come to the king, you say, Lord, what is it that we are to do in this situation? And the Spirit of the Lord and the Word of the Lord says, listen, flee from this. Don't argue with him. Run. Or if he says, go and speak truth, go and do it. But listen to what the Lord says and walk in those things, because the friend of the king has invited you to do these things. I have three questions I want you guys to consider as we prepare our hearts for communion. And also for the message. But what is an area of life that I've been avoiding to grow in faith? And this is a question we've asked like probably at least 50 times here. Why? Because we're all still growing. What is an area of life that I've been avoiding to grow in faith? Where do I know that God is calling me to mature and to be his friend means I may need to get rid of something? I was talking with an individual this week, and he said, listen, I actually had to get rid of half of my friends at one point in my life. My best friend, like the guy that we'd go drinking, he's my drinking buddy, and we shared life, and we'd help each other out. He's like, but I can't do this anymore, and he rejected me because I didn't drink with him. I said, well, how do you feel about that? He goes, the best decision I made. I had to choose in that moment whom I surrounded myself with. I said, have you ever considered going back and being a witness? He goes, when I'm ready and strong enough, I will. But he had to make a hard decision. Sometimes making hard decisions means we have to grow in faith and make decisions that glorify God and take us away from situations that may be pulling us down. Second thing is this, how close am I to the king? We've asked this question again in the past. What is my proximity to the king? What is my proximity to the king? He's invited you to be his friend. Where are you at in that spectrum? Number three, how is my life testifying to the king's glory? How is my life testifying to the king's glory? Do people know that you've got the seal of approval from the king? Do they know that when you speak, it's not your words that are being spoken, but you can say, hey, listen, just, you know, this isn't my idea, this is God's idea. Just so we're on the same page. Do you understand that what we're talking about is not about me, it's about the Lord? How is my life testifying to the king's glory? Does the world know that you're his friend because you walk closely with him and it reflects everything that's going on in your life reflects him? No, there's aspects of all of our life that's far from the king. But how can I praise him more? Father God, I pray that as we prepare our hearts,